Good morning. You know the old saying, lucky in love, lucky in life. I think the saying also applies to the fit between ministers and their congregations. Reverends Melora and Shauna have been our co-ministers for the last 7 years. In my 30-plus years as member of this church, we have never had a minister stay more than 9 years. We have, for the first time in my experience, a settled family ministry. This is a huge benefit to the church. Having ministers a generation younger than many of us members means that they have brought us 70-year-olds kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Services are now recorded digitally and are uploaded to Facebook, where they can be shared worldwide. Services are sometimes paperless, with orders of service, hymn lyrics, and notices appearing on the projector screen. But the most gratifying aspect of their ministry is the arrival of young families into our congregation, who hopefully will be the next generation of Unitarians. I appreciate the efforts of Melora and Shauna to make newcomers feel welcome here. The stability of a settled ministry has really given a boost to the music programs in this church. Jazz Vespers has now become an integral part of our monthly Sunday services. The quality of the choral singing has improved under Nick Fairbank, our settled music director of 5 years, who liaises with the ministers to choose the appropriate music for the sermons. This dedication of the ministers, music director, chalice choir, bell choir, men's choir, and jammers comes from the belief that music is an important part of the church's role. When I sing in a service or in a care home with the jammers, I'm in community with others. Isn't that the real meaning of church, to bring people together? We are a beacon of liberal religion in this country. If there was ever a time for Victoria Unitarians to provide a message of hope and inclusion, it is now. Please join me in helping financially to continue this service to others. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
It comes and goes. Let me know if it stops working and I'll switch. As Reverend Shauna noted last week, Unitarian Universalism comes from historically Christian roots. Our religion grew out of the protests of the Protestant Reformation. But since our tradition has no creed, no statement of theological belief to which members must ascribe, our religion has evolved over time. Today, we are people with many different beliefs. We share in common a set of ethical values expressed in our seven principles, but we have a wide variety of spiritual beliefs and religious backgrounds. For example, you may recall from a survey done a year and a half ago that in this congregation, when asked which of the following inform your spiritual practice, of the 112 respondents, 15% identified as atheist, meaning I don't believe in any sort of God or God force. 25% identified as theist, meaning I believe in some sort of God or God force, the way I define God. 23% identified as agnostic, meaning I don't know or can't know whether there is any sort of God or God force. You were invited to mark as many as you felt suited you, so it's not going to add up to 100. So we also had 29% identifying as humanist, as you define it, and 50% identifying as spiritual, as you define it. As for other sources that informed your spiritual practice, 34% said the natural world, 19% said pagan or earth-centered traditions, 12% said Buddhist, 8% Christian, 8% indigenous spirituality, and Jewish, Muslim, and Hindu each had responses of less than 3%. That was a question about what informs your spiritual practice, not how you identify, but it gives you a sense of the breadth and variety among us. Many of us just identify as Unitarian Universalist or Unitarian. Today, we focus on those who carry a secondary identity, what I'm calling a dual faith or dual identity UU. UU Buddhists, UU pagans, UU Christians, and so on. How do they find a sense of belonging in our UU communities? I should note here that this sermon topic was chosen by Peter Scales, who won the sermon on a topic of your choice at last spring's auction. Thanks to Peter for the topic, as well as some helpful research interviews. Let us begin with some dual identity voices. Reverend Abhi Janimanchi, a UU minister in the States who was born in India, says, "I consider myself a UU Hindu, flavored by the Islamic heritage of my father, Buddhist spiritual practice, and the study and exploration of other world religious traditions. My Unitarian Universalism helps me to be a better Hindu, a better human being. It celebrates my identity as a religious hybrid and a theological crossbreed." End quote. Jody, who identifies as Jewish Unitarian Universalist, says, quote, "I can bring my atheist mother here, my Catholic ex-husband, and my modern Orthodox-trained Jewish children, and we're all just loved." Sepida, who is here today, thank you, is an Iranian Muslim who has recently joined Capital UU Congregation in James Bay. We've got a bunch from Capital. Wave your hand if you're here from Capital. Hello, Capital in the house. Welcome. She said this about being both Muslim and Unitarian Universalist. "For me, they are one. It is one thing. I was born and raised Muslim, and I identify as a Muslim. When I started going to Capital and becoming a Unitarian, I did not hear anything being taught or valued in Capital congregation that was different from my Muslim upbringing or values. It was the same. The values are shared. Both Islam and Unitarianism ask us to be kind to others, to help, to value people. When I attend a service at Capital, I am reminded of the core values of Islam and the core values of humanitarianism. The fact that Capital and UU has given me a community The fact that Capital and UU has given me a community which reinforces the principles that are important to me, important in Islam, and important to any other religion. This makes me happy." Unitarian Universalism can be an ideal place to live out a multifaceted faith. There can also be challenges. If you are a UU Jew in this congregation, for instance, you might appreciate that we occasionally reference Yom Kippur or include stories about Hanukkah or Passover, but you might miss a more robust participation in so many of the traditions of your heritage. If you are a UU Christian, you usually only hear about Jesus on Christmas and sometimes Easter, if Easter and Earth Day are not on the same day. If you are a UU pagan, you get to join us for winter solstice and occasionally summer solstice, but that tends to be the extent of it. Many dual identity UUs find that they have to seek out spiritual supplements elsewhere. I know a UU Christian who regularly attended Wednesday night Tazay services at her local Catholic church. UU Jews in some congregations host Passover Seders for their UU community. We happen to have a Tibetan Buddhist meditation group here in this congregation on Saturdays, but many UU Buddhists seek practice outside of their congregations. If you are a UU Hindu and you want to celebrate Hindu festivals, you might connect with the Hindu temple up in Saanichton. Our member, Geeta, who is not Hindu but attends the temple, tells me that the Hindu temple is both a place of religious practice and social gathering. She says people from many cultures and religions join in, not just Hindus. Families that left India generations ago and moved to many parts of the world through forced or free migration now gather there. Some dual faith UUs miss the richness they can only find through these supplemental sources and practices and traditions. Some also miss the camaraderie of other UUs that are in the same tradition. There are special communities you can find online for UU Jews, UU Christians, UU Buddhists, and UU Pagans. The UUs for Jewish Awareness have videos on their website of a UU Shabbat service, as well as a Rosh Hashanah prayer time. The UU Christian website has a ton of resources, including a virtual monastery that will help you develop your own contemplation and prayer practice. I know, cool, right? Did you hear Shauna? She's going to check it out, I bet. She's like, oh, that sounds good. They also host an in-person UU Christian revival each year. Basically, as a dual identity UU, for some of dual identity UUs, in order to live a spiritual life of depth and meaning that delves into the particulars of your own tradition, UU Christian or UU Pagan or other, you have to take initiative. The onus is on you to find the co-practitioners, seek out the resources, and engage in the practices. So think about that a little bit. To some extent, I think that's actually true for all of us Unitarian Universalists. It's great if the Sunday service music and candles and meditations nurture our spirits, and it is meaningful to do this together. But to go beyond Sunday, to develop the practices that help us live a life of spiritual depth each day, well, that's up to us. This is not a church that tells you what to do. This is a faith that encourages you to find and follow your own path. Think about what works for you. Meditation or prayer, walking by the ocean, gathering with folks in our spirituality group or in the atheist, humanist, agnostic group. There are still a couple of spaces in one of our Soul Matters groups, by the way. See your order of service for details. The extent to which a dual identity UU feels a sense of belonging here is also determined by the extent to which we are open to one another's experiences and beliefs. Again, this is true for all of us, right? Not just dual faith UUs. We all feel a greater sense of belonging when others lean in and listen with open-hearted, judgment-free curiosity and interest. This is what makes UU community so rich, so many opportunities for learning and connection with one another. I'm not sure we always do this as much as or as well as we would like. As you may have heard, our grade 3 to 5 kids, these are not them, I don't think, the grade 3 to 5 kids and our youth are learning about world religions this year. Each month, they will learn about and then visit in person a different faith group. The program they are using is called Crossing Paths. It coordinates with our Soul Matters themes, and it is more evolved than some of the older programs that we used to use. First of all, it goes beyond the naive and problematic view that all religions are essentially the same. The danger in that view, and in its cousin, all humans are essentially the same, is that we can subconsciously assume that all humans are essentially like me. We start with what we know about us and project that must be true of others. It turns out it's more true, more effective, and more respectful to start with the other. Tell me about you. In this way, we don't impose our assumptions. We honor the uniqueness of each person, each culture, and in this case, each religion. So that's one way in which the approach of crossing paths is different. It celebrates the values that religions share, but emphasizes their uniqueness. Instead of one mountain, many paths, it is many mountains, many paths. In particular, it focuses on a lens used by scholar Stephen Prothero, who asks of each religion, what human struggle or problem is central to this religion? And what does the religion offer in response to that problem? I think that's so interesting. So, for example, in Christianity, the problem, the human problem, is sin. And the solution Christianity offers is salvation. And you can take that metaphorically as well. In Buddhism, humanity's problem is suffering. And the solution Buddhism offers is a path to nirvana. Each religion has its own unique view and approach. Here's a second exciting feature of the Crossing Faiths program. Quote, we aren't just visiting other faith traditions. We are learning how to engage with other people of faith and with diversity in general. Crossing paths does not just fill our youth's heads with knowledge. It also helps them develop and practice skills that will help them in all aspects of their life. End quote. To this end, the program teaches the 8 practices of welcoming. They are good practices to use when learning about and visiting another faith, as our kids are doing. It occurred to me that they are also really good practices to use when listening to one another talk about our own values, beliefs, practices, and traditions. Picture this. Picture finding another congregant at coffee hour and asking them to tell you something about their beliefs, practices, or traditions. Imagine that their answer is fairly different from what your own would be. If you are a humanist, maybe imagine listening to a UU Christian. If you are a mystic UU pagan, maybe imagine listening to an atheist. You might add in a cultural difference as well. Picture someone different from you. Now envision engaging these 8 practices of welcoming. What would it be like for you to be fully present, be curious, be open to being changed, be comfortable with discomfort, be an appreciative listener, be lighthearted, be gentle. I love this one. Mistakes will be made, forgiveness is possible, and be yourself. In Crossing Paths, there is an exercise that teaches about being an appreciative listener. First, the kids divide into pairs and choose a topic to debate, like which candy bar or movie or ice cream flavor is the best. They have 1 minute to debate and try to convince the other person that they are right. In the debrief, it is pointed out that often our first instinct is to argue and talk about our own preference. Sometimes it gets worse if we end up criticizing the person and not just their opinions. No matter what, the conversations usually do not end up feeling good on either side. Then the kids are asked to try it again using appreciative inquiry skills. They are advised to take a deep breath, resist talking, and just listen. Find something about what the other person is saying that you are genuinely curious about, and then ask the other person to tell you more about that aspect of their opinion, or tell them what you appreciate about it. The more we take this approach with one another, the more we will make this a place of belonging for everyone. Dual faith, you use, and more. To avoid cultural misappropriation, I cannot lead rituals or traditions that are not my own. But if any of you have a tradition or a celebration that you would like to share, I encourage you to bring it forward. Maybe offer to do a kid's story or bring a special food or craft to coffee hour. Most of all, talk with one another. Share your experiences and stories. Engaging in appreciative inquiry, listening, and the other seven practices of welcoming is good to do within our congregation. Like our youth, we also strive to do it beyond our congregation. You use are particularly well suited to help make sense, to make a space of belonging for those who are religiously marginalized in the wider community. We can affirm religious diversity, sharing what we know about various religions and respecting their traditions and holy days. When the winter holidays come around, we can teach our kids to not assume that everyone celebrates Christmas and to make room for those who don't by doing simple things like saying the more inclusive Happy Holidays to strangers and reserving Merry Christmas for people who we know celebrate Christmas, or referring to winter break instead of Christmas break to acknowledge that includes students who don't celebrate Christmas, using New Year's as a more inclusive time marker, as in, we'll start this work project after New Year's instead of, we'll start this work project after Christmas. This is not to diminish the joy to be had in celebrating Christmas for those who do. It is simply acknowledging the existence of those who don't. These little gestures can help people in the non-dominant group feel like they too belong. All that is to say, let us use our UU superpowers of theological diversity and religious awareness as a power for good in the world. Back to our own religion. Recall Prothero's world religion framework of problems and responses. How do you think Unitarian Universalism would answer those questions? What human struggle is central to Unitarian Universalism? And what does Unitarian Universalism offer in response to that problem? Crossing Paths suggests that in the UU view, the human problem is separation. And the solution Unitarian Universalism offers is connection. They use the metaphor of three different ropes, three lifelines. UUism gives people the tools to help restore connection with our deepest self, one another, life's gifts, or I like to call it the web of life. I love this UU theology of connection. I think it's good for people of all ages. They suggest that the chalice symbol can reflect those three paths of reconnection as well. The flame represents our inner light and connection to our deepest self. The cup represents the container of community and our connection to one another. The circle around the chalice symbolizes life itself, and the way it surrounds us, heals us, and offers us a sense of belonging and home. I will end with a question for you. Recall that we said that one of the challenges of being a dual faith UU, and really one of the challenges of being any kind of UU, encouraged as we are to find our own spiritual paths, is that we have to find and engage with our own spiritual practices. My question is, what practices do you do in your own life to restore or strengthen connection with your deepest self, or human community, or life's gifts, or the web of life? Asked another way, when you feel disconnected in any of these ways, what can you do to help reconnect? When you feel disconnected in any of these ways, what do you do to help reconnect? In a moment, yes, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to invite you to share your answers with one another in pairs or threes. Not now, but in a moment. You'll notice that we didn't have a personal reflection today. This will take the place of that. I invite you to facilitate a sense of belonging for your partner by engaging in some of those welcoming practices as you listen to them speak. Be fully present. Be curious. Be open to being changed. Be comfortable with discomfort. Be an appreciative listener. Each partner can speak for a minute or two. You'll have about 4 minutes total. If you can't find a pair, the ushers can help. You may, of course, contemplate this question on your own if you prefer. So, deepest self, human community, web of life, when you feel disconnected in any of these ways, what practices help you reconnect? If you have a dual identity, I encourage you to include that in your answer. Let us unleash the richness of our spiritual diversity. Go.